Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Imperfect Wives Radio Show, inspiring women to fully experience the life God designed them to live. Find out more at theimperfectwives.com. Now your hosts, Rebecca and Cherie.
Co-host Rebecca LeConte.
Good morning, Cherie. How are you?
Good.
Good morning,
good,
everybody.
Considering all things.
I know, but God is so good, and He is so faithful to us. Just what a delight it is to be here with you. And we're grateful for technology and everything that God puts in our hands that enables us to share His word with others.
Yes, especially when it doesn't work. You appreciate it even more.
That's right.
So how are you doing there in California?
You know, I'm just doing well. It's, you know, I don't want to make anybody jealous, but it's always beautiful here in San Diego, and today is no exception. It's just wonderful. God is doing great things in my family's lives and in the lives of our congregation, lives of our friends. We've seen answers to prayer. He's just so good. How about you guys? What's going on in Beaufort?
No, we're doing good as well. Candace Glover won American Idol. Woo! I had to say it. She is a Christian, and she is saved, and so we are excited for her. It was a little bit of a struggle because one of my friends, Tana Miller, Angela, is her daughter, and she was on as well. And there were so many pulling for Candace here in Beaufort. You know, I really wanted to pull for both, but I was really excited to see everything that has happened with these two young women and how they've ministered behind the scenes of American Idol that we weren't able to see on, you know, live on TV. But Tana has shared with us along the way, you know, that especially Angela, because Angela's her daughter, so she was saying more about Angela, but how she was sharing, she shared her love for the Lord and has just led ministry there. And I always love to hear that, how God gets in, you know, to where Satan has a foothold. God always gets right in because He places His children, His daughters and His sons, in unique positions and then uses them because they're willing. And so so Beaufort is all excited right now because Candace won, and of course she's going to be traveling for some time. But if you go anywhere on Ladies Island, because Candace actually lives just a couple miles from us right here where we live, she's in St. Helena, we're on Ladies Island, so it's like 2 miles from us. We're on the same island, but the island's been given, each section has a different name, which we think is interesting. But there's signs everywhere, Rebecca. They're so excited. Everyone's so excited here. So that is what's going on in Beaufort right now. That is the top story of the area. Unlike you, though, we are not experiencing the best weather. But, you know, it is what it is. So in light of Oklahoma and everything that happened yesterday, I think we got a little bit of some of the rings of it, maybe, possibly. We had really bad weather yesterday, but we didn't have the tornadoes. So, of course, our hearts are, you know, praying for the families and the children that are still missing and everything going on there. It's just you turn on the telly and you just want to turn it off because the news is so devastating.
Yeah, yeah. We are praying as well here. As we know, people across the country and around the world are just devastating.
Yeah.
Just devastating.
So the Imperfect Wives are praying for all of the families. If you are listening and you know you have family members that are being affected by this, please know that we don't know you by name, but we are praying for you and your family.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, shall we get started with
yes.
our our content. We're so excited for today. So if you can, close your eyes and bow your head, lift your hearts and hands before the Lord. Let's pray. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you so much. And we worship you. Lord, you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And Lord, right now we do take just a moment to lift up to you the people of Oklahoma again. And we just ask that you bring comfort to their hearts, Lord, that you strengthen them as they walk through this very, very difficult season. Lord, as they are trying to rebuild physically and emotionally, Lord, that they would know that in the midst of this great tragedy that you indeed are there. And Lord, we trust you to take good care of them. Lord, for the rest of this show, we just surrender it to you. And we ask you to just have your way in us. Lord, that we would indeed be changed, made more and more like Jesus, so that we can bring hope and healing to the people around us. Lord, that we would see your character developed in us more fully, that we would indeed be light and love in this world. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Rebecca, you know, as you know, we are going through a series that we haven't quite titled yet, but we know it's based on relationships and marriages from the Bible and what we can learn from their mistakes and their victories. You know, the first week we talked about, we set the foundation for the series with Saul and David and Samuel and how the Israelites wanted Saul. They wanted a king. And it really hurt God's heart because God wanted to be their king. And though Samuel came and told them, this is what's going to happen if you have a king, you know, as you know, they cried out and said, we don't care about the negative. We just want a king like everyone else. We want to be like everyone else. And so we started with King Saul and King David. And then we went into and we started looking at King David as he came, as he was rising into leadership or whatever you call it when you're becoming a king, and his marriage with Michal, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I always call her Michal. I don't know why. And then how Bathsheba came in to the story and how God used them. It was just I really love that show. I need to go back and listen to it again because there was so much fruit from it. Do you want to take us to the rest?
Well, then last week we talked about Hannah and Elkanah and mm-hmm. their son Samuel. And we really saw that Hannah and Elkanah had a pretty terrific relationship, one of mutual love and respect, as they walked out infertility and then saw God's blessing and continued blessing as they walked in obedience. It was really a beautiful story. I was so impacted by that, Sheree, because mm-hmm. so many of the stories that we read, there is such great dysfunction. And there was still dysfunction in there, too, because there was that Penina. And there she is. The second
yeah.
wife, definitely not as loved as Hannah, from what that passage of Scripture says. But, you know, God uses us for his purposes despite our flaws and our failures and our dysfunction. And we're going to see that again today as we talk about maybe one of the most well-known dysfunctional situations in the Old Testament with Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. And just generational issue after generational issue with these three, and some of it was of their own doing and some of it wasn't. But in the end, God has a plan. and he's activated that plan, and he uses their mess and turns it into a blessing for his people, which is amazing. It really is amazing. And
he uses it to teach us in our marriages.
He does. And
if we're
willing. If we are willing, and that's the thing, we've got to be willing. We've got to have hearts that are pliable, that are tender, can be molded and shaped by the Lord. We have to stay in relationship with Him. That is primary, isn't it, Sheree, that we stay closely connected to the Lord and that we do what He's telling us to do, even when the circumstances aren't going the way we think they should. And that happens more often than we'd like to admit. But God's in the business of fixing things and turning things around when there seems to be no way for that to happen. But you know what? Before we go any further, I just want to give a little shout-out to our friend and your hostess in the chat room, if you're in there this morning, Kim Brooks. Her husband, Keith, is also a Navy chaplain. He and my husband are very good friends. They went through chaplain school together a long time ago. And Keith just graduated from Princeton Seminary on Saturday. So we want to say congratulations, Kim and Keith, your whole family. We are so proud of you, so proud of Keith. Way to go.
Amen. Way to go.
We're just really glad. We just wanted to say thank you for everything you do, Kim, and know that we are cheering you guys on as you go to your next duty station. I'm going to be glad to have you back here on the West Coast, a little bit closer.
Yeah, we're losing her and you're gaining her.
Yes.
I'm sure she's going to be glad too, though.
So, Sheree, you want to talk about the first point? We're a little off this morning, but that's okay. We're going to get back on track and get through these notes because God gave us some good points.
Well, you know, the first section we're going to talk about, when you think about Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, and I know everyone says Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, but I always tend to put Leah first because I feel like that she's the one that should be honored. And that's just my personal feelings. But as I studied through this a few months ago, I learned some things I hadn't seen before. And Leah really, you know, I find Leah quite amazing. I know she made some mistakes, but she didn't give up. And I don't want to give my main point away or my main takeaway away, you know, too soon. But when you reap what you sow, right?
Yes.
If we reap if we sow a bad harvest, then we're going to reap a bad harvest. When we reap what we sow, sometimes it's, you know, there's conviction. Sometimes it's, you stand there and you look at the situation and you want to say that you're not the one that caused it. It's not your fault. But in all honesty, if we look deep inside of ourselves and we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we realize this is our fault. We sowed this, and now we're reaping the fruit of it. You know, Rebecca, sometimes it's simply because we've made a mistake and we didn't have the understanding to make a better choice. And sometimes we make that choice because we're prideful or we just want our way, right?
Right.
So there's so many different reasons. But the Bible calls Jacob the deceiver from the beginning. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be known as the deceiver.
Right.
He was in a hurry. It's kind of interesting because you and I were talking about this before the show. I have twins, Bobby and Troy, and I went into labor 6 weeks early, and so they tried to stop my labor, and they couldn't. My body was just done. My body was saying, these babies are heavy, and they're out of here. And they were actually 5'5 and 5'12. They were nowhere near preemie. Yeah, they were the biggest twins born in Santa Rosa County at that time. But as Bobby, because they had to do a C-section, Dr. Vio was, you know, pulling Bobby out, and here comes Troy's hand, and he has a hold of Bobby's foot. And I knew this story, and I was like, no, no, Lord. You know, Troy, and I remember Dr. Vio saying, no, baby B, it's not your time yet. And he took Troy's hand off of Bobby's foot, you know, and got Bobby taken care of, and then he went in to bring Troy out. But one reason I've always found this story interesting is because I did have twins.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I've always prayed, actually, I'm probably saying too much, but I've always prayed against that, Lord, you know, let the boys grow up and love each other and not deceive each other and, you know, the cross of a mother's heart, right? And so, you know, we open up today's study with Genesis 25 and verse 26. Are we going to go ahead and read? Do you want to go ahead and read, Rebecca?
Yeah, I do. And actually, I want to go back. I've got it pulled up here on my screen. I want to go back and talk about Rebecca for just a minute, and because we need to look at kind of their family tree, which is mm-hmm. which is pretty important. So if we go back to verse 21, I'm going to read 21, starting in verse 21 through 26 in Genesis chapter 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. And Esau, just in case you don't know, that means hairy, and that makes perfect sense. And
yeah.
Jacob means he grasps the heel, which is a Hebrew phrase for he deceives. And they were just thinking that they were being descriptive of that childbirth experience, and little did they know that that was going to be like prophetic of what Jacob was going to be like. But you know, in some ways, it's not really all Jacob's fault. And I'm not trying to say he didn't have responsibility, but you know, there was a good history in his family tree of, you know, people being less than completely forthright with others. And it started with Abraham, you know, his grandfather, who, you know, lied several times about his relationship to Sarah in order to, you know, do what he thought was necessary to protect them and protect his own life. And then we see that with Isaac. He lied to Abimelech about his relationship to Rebekah for the same reasons that his dad did that. And so we see that there's this sin that's happening within the family lineage. So Jacob had that example set for him. And his mom, Rebekah, she remembers their whole lives. She remembers what the Lord had said to her, that the older would serve the younger. And she does everything she can to make sure that happens. She doesn't wait for God to bring forth his plan in his time. She's going to make it happen for him, which, you know, is not so great, because she helps Jacob to deceive Isaac and receive the blessing that was really intended for Esau as the firstborn. So, just interesting that sometimes this... Go ahead, Sheree.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, the Bible says to raise up a child in the way it should go, and when it's older, it will not depart from it. Well, if we're teaching them the wrong ways, they're not going to depart from that either. And when you think about it, your children, they watch us. They glean from us. You know, Pastor Jamie said, if we do something, our children are going to do it in excess. And I think that Jacob did this in excess. What he did was definitely in excess. We really have to be mindful the choices we make, because what we reap or what we sow is going to be what we reap. And I love the title, This First Section, for that reason. I'm sure some of us, as we're going through this, are thinking, wow, the reason that he did that is because I did this. You know, our children are, as they're growing up, they are a reflection of us because they are mirroring what we're doing. Because they're learning from us, especially when they're little. You know, up to the age of 7, their little minds are developing. Their critical thinking skills are developing. They're taking note. They're soaking in everything you're saying, everything you're doing. And by the time they're 7 years old, their mind is developed. So whatever they've learned up to that point is going to be expressed throughout their life. So, you know, Jacob was learning from his mom.
Yep. And you know, Sheree, I have to say that, you know, when the boys were little, and even now that Sophia's so young, when I saw them acting out in ways that I knew were not right, the Holy Spirit would often say, "Where do you think they learned that? And they got that from you." And nothing drove me to my knees faster than that understanding, that the things that I knew needed to be corrected in my children's hearts and behaviors, you know, was a result of what I was doing that was not right, and motivated me like nothing else to get myself right with the Lord, because I knew that, right, because I knew that it was vital that they see a good example. And I'm so grateful that God gave me that understanding when they were so little, so that I was able to do what was right. And that was just such a blessing, that wisdom. And it was grace, his grace. You know, and then we see, when we're talking about reaping what we sow, you know, as we get into the story, and you're probably very familiar with it, if you're listening to us today, that Jacob is finally on the receiving end of deception there in Genesis 29, when Laban tricks him by giving him Leah instead of Rachel. And he finally gets a taste of his own medicine and can see and experience firsthand what Esau experienced, you know, as a result of his own bad behavior. Probably really an eye-opener for Jacob would be my guess.
Hopefully an eye-opener for all of us as we read through this. You know, when I was little, I heard that the Bible was an acronym. And so I asked, you know, what does Bible mean? And I forget who told me. It was a deacon or somebody. And they said, basic instructions before leaving earth. God's word truly is set out as instructions for us. But if we don't read it, if we're just reading it as, you know, a melodic story, or, you know, this is really great stuff, something you could create a movie from, whatever, then we're not reading it from the right heart. But if we'll delve into God's word and we truly see what he's saying and open our hearts to hear him as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, then the Bible becomes alive. And it becomes so alive that it starts to teach us. There is so much in here that God, he really actually wants us to live our lives based on his word. Our actions need to line up with his word. And this is becoming more and more apparent to me as actually this year, my word is focus for the year, Rebecca, as you know, and God has been asking me to really focus on his word, because I haven't been gleaning, you know, as I should be. And I also, though I've been raised in church, for some reason, I never got to this level until now, until this year, of understanding that God's word is truly, you know, you make a list for yourself, you set goals, and you try to live by that list, right? Okay, this is the ultimate goal. These are the goals, the smaller goals that are going to get me to that ultimate goal. So you check that list every day, you're checking things off of it, and you're living by that list. God wants us to live by his word in the same way. And as we do, as we receive what he says, it's going to change us. That's why these stories, these lives, I don't want to say stories, these lives are so important for us to delve into. So we don't want you to miss it. We don't want you to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you this morning as you're listening and as you're reading along with us. in your Bible, because it truly is vital to your relationship, not only with God, but with your husband, and in this case, with your children as well.
Yes. And really our Sherie.
No, go.
You know, our question to you and the application for you, because you maybe you're listening and you go, but I don't really have that deception going on in my family history or in my own life. But we all have places where we have sown something negative in our own lives, or that where something negative has been sown into our life. Where is that? If you know, are you reaping the harvest of something negative, some sin? And if it isn't apparent to you, we just want to encourage you to take some time alone with the Lord and ask Him to reveal it to you. And then, if it's your sin, repent. God doesn't want to beat you up. He doesn't want to, you know, give you a huge lecture about it and make you feel condemned. He wants to bring it to light so that He can set you free, because that's His goal, is your freedom from everything that would separate you from Him.
I'm hearing the old hymn, He set me free, yeah, He set me free.
And you know, go ahead, Sherie. I'm sorry.
It's a good song. I'm sure those who know the hymns, they're already singing it.
Yes. So, oh my goodness, I am just talking over you this morning. I am so sorry. I do not mean to do that. That is one of the challenges of being in two different locations. But let's get to our second point. I'm looking at the time, Sherie. We got about 33 minutes left, and we've got a lot more to talk about. So,
well,
point number two.
Challenge. If it's okay, we do have a challenge this morning. Sherie cannot see a clock, so because my laptop is dead, and I'm using my cell phone to grab the notes, so I cannot see the clock. And usually, Rebecca and I are in rhythm because we're both on the studio and we can both see everything. So. I do apologize this morning, but Rebecca, you're not speaking over me. You're doing just fine.
Thank you.
So number two, and every time I read our notes, I say mahogany. But monogamy is a good thing. Don't you love how your mind reads something completely different than what it actually says? That happens more than we realize, maybe. Monogamy truly is a good thing. There are consequences for sin, even when the sin isn't ours. And we know that there are many of you who are dealing with a sin that was cast against you, that someone sinned against you, and it's really caused some severe soul wounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, Laban sinned against Leah and Rachel, and Jacob, when he tricked Jacob into marrying Leah, Laban sinned. He sinned when he did that. He made a pact with Jacob. He told Jacob that he could work for Rachel, right, for 7 years, and when the 7 years were over, then he could marry his daughter. But we know from history that that's not actually how it works. The culture of the Israelites in that day was that you don't marry off any of your daughters until the firstborn is married. And so as I was reading this, Rebecca, and I knew that history of their culture, you know, from my studies, I thought, wow, that's interesting that he would actually let Rachel marry first when Leah should have been the one to marry first. So glad it's not like that today. But go ahead. I know you want to say something.
No, it just, I mean, he did not uphold his word. Laban was, you know, dishonest. There he goes, sinning. And talk about making a mess. He, you know, Leah really didn't have a lot of say. The culture at that time was that, you know, women did what they were told, whether it was, you know, under their father or under their husband. They really didn't have a lot of say in what was happening. And so Leah, you know, did what the person in charge told her to do. And you can imagine, you know, what did they do with Rachel when Leah's standing there marrying Jacob?
And Rachel's known all this time, right?
Yeah. I mean, put yourself in both of their shoes. I mean, Leah's going, this can't be good. Rachel's probably madder than anything. And, you know, Jacob, Yeah, what a shock he had that morning, no doubt.
No doubt. You know, you and I talked about that area of it at length, probably more than we need to say here. But the thing about that we need to understand about Leah is, you know, she was considered to have weak eyes. And when I studied this at Liberty, what that meant in their culture was that she most likely had blue eyes, and blue-eyed people were considered, it was considered that they would go blind. So if you have a wife that's going to go blind, then in those days, she wasn't the prime choice for marriage. This is why Leah was still single for so long because, you know, but you know, when I think about it, as I was reading this, I was like, wow, God saw Leah. He saw Leah, right, Rebecca? He saw her. And he made a way. He wasn't surprised that this happened. The Bible says, remember Joseph's story? What Satan means for evil, God's going to use for his glory. And he saw Leah, and her heart was to be married. You know, and he made a way for her to be married. And I love that part of this story, and I never saw that before. It's always when you and I get together and we start to read, whether we're reading together or separately, that God starts to bring these things out, these little nuggets that are so important because they're going to hit someone's heart. They're going to touch somebody. There's somebody out there that's feeling the same way Leah did, and she's listening to this right now. God did not, he has seen you. He did not just go right over you and go right to the Rachel in your life. He saw you, and he's chosen you, and I love that about Leah. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, when we look at this, Jacob could have at that point gone, you know, had some wisdom and said, hey, you know what?
Right. I'll take Leah.
this is what it is, and this is going to be a huge mess. But he chose to marry Rachel, too. He was set on having what he wanted, and which was Rachel. And, he, you know, he didn't have any idea what, you know, if Leah was going to be able to have children or not. He just wanted what he wanted, and that's where we can get into trouble, you know, when we just want what we want. But those three, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, they were set up for a rocky road from the very beginning. And Sheree, we see this all the time. When sin is in the picture, especially in the area of intimacy, even if it isn't an affair, you know, even if it's not a physical sin in the area of intimacy, there are still far-reaching consequences. In this story, Laban, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel had difficult relationships. That just made things difficult between all of them as a result of this situation that Laban put into motion. You know, Jacob's feelings for Rachel and Leah strained all of their relationships as well, because it put those two sisters in direct competition with each other for his affection, his time, his energy, their position. And, you know, really all of them were shortchanged as a result of this circumstance. And, you know, just knowing how families work, knowing that when parents are having difficulty in their relationship, the kids suffer. And we know that all these kids had to suffer as a result of the turmoil and the constant year after year. I mean, you think about it, have all these kids. This didn't happen in a week. This didn't happen in just 12 months. This went on for a really long time. And so these kids were suffering as a result of the drama. And, you know, even their names, we're going to talk about that in a little while, are a reminder of the mess. So, you know, what we want you to take away is, you know, maybe you have an area in your life where sin has a foothold and it's causing a problem in your marriage. It might be that one of you has an unhealthy attachment to another person, or something in your life has too much of your attention and is causing you to neglect your spouse. And we just want to encourage you to let God show you where he wants to touch your life and bring healing and deliverance from sin. When we let him in, he does amazing things, but we have to let him in.
Yeah, and obey. Obey his voice. You know, if we were talking to a bunch of women that were perfect, then this wouldn't even need to be said. But we know that we are all imperfect, and but we're striving to become a reflection of our Savior. And as we listen to God's word and we listen to His voice, that can, you know, that begins to happen, Rebecca. And I love that. I'm just so excited about this series for this reason, because I'm learning so much about my relationship with Bill. And, you know, last week was powerful because one of the things that hit me was when I'm hurt and confused, I'm more susceptible to the lies of Satan concerning Bill. I will listen to Satan for some reason. When Bill has offended me and hurt me, you know, Hannah could have been offended and hurt, but she just moved right through all of that pain. Actually, I don't even think it was pain for her. I think she just literally pressed through all of it and just stayed focused on, you know, her desire, and that was to have a child. But unfortunately, I haven't been like Hannah, and I have been hurt by the things that have been said, not just by Bill, but by others. Last week's broadcast was really good. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, we want to encourage you to go over and listen to it, because it truly is. God shared some amazing things in there that we know are going to encourage you and strengthen you in your imperfectness, right?
Amen.
Okay.
It's true.
So you want to go to number three?
I do.
When we are desperate for God to do something that we want Him to do for us, we can easily get ahead of Him, race to bear sons, race to name them, race to bring their story to fruition, you know, jump all over people, walk on people to get there. I can see, you know, I can see myself with my hands out front on side to side saying, oh, no, you're not getting in my way. This is what I want, and I'm going to get it. And we can even rationalize, Rebecca, that this is God's will. Ah.
Yep.
Can't we?
Oh, now yes. You're preaching, Sheree. We can.
So
we can take. Oh my goodness, we see it with Rebecca. You know, she had a word from the Lord. Well, the older is going to serve the younger, so I'm just making it happen.
I'm going to bring it to fruition a little bit quicker. But what she didn't realize is God already knew what was going to happen. You know.
Yes.
She thought she was bringing to pass what God had willed to happen, but He was actually speaking from a different place. But we don't always realize that. Probably we don't realize that a lot. Okay, so Genesis 29:31.
Yes, Jacob's children. Here's what it says. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, He enabled her to conceive. But Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, He gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon, and the note says, Simeon probably means one who hears. Then again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. And the note says, Levi sounds like and may be derived from the Hebrew for attached. And she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said to him, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah, which sounds like the Hebrew for praise. Then she stopped having children. Now see, Sheree, those children were a blessing from the Lord. He enabled her to have children. And it says back there in verse 31, when he saw that she was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. So there they are, Jacob and Leah. He doesn't love her, but he's still choosing to be intimate with her. And God is that, and that had to be just so difficult for her. And so because things were not right there, it kind of got twisted in her head. Those children, you know, became what she hoped were a bridge to her husband's heart. And that really kind of takes us down to another one of our points, that we just all want to be loved. And Sheree, that's number 5 in our notes, which I'm sure you're having trouble scrolling down to see on your little tiny phone.
No, I got it.
You know, Leah just wanted Jacob to love her, and she thought that by having sons for him, that he would love her. And so she put so much emphasis on that. She was desperate for God to do something. And it just, you know, and that desperation was really shared by her sister because, of course, as we've talked about in that culture, having children, especially sons, was so important in a marriage. And she even says to Jacob in chapter 30, verse 1, give me children or I'll die. I mean, talk about drama.
Yeah, but if you look at it, you know, when you look at the two women, it's interesting that Leah, her heart is after Jacob, but Rachel's heart, well, maybe not her heart, but she was after children out of jealousy. Leah just wanted her husband. You know, she's not even saying get rid of Rachel. She just wants her husband. And so she's doing what she can, and she recognizes that God is blessing her with children. And not only is he blessing her, Rebecca, but he's giving her boys, which was, you know, that was huge in their culture. I know huge isn't a great word to describe that, but, you know, this was considered a big blessing in their culture because boys can carry on their, you know, the farming, whatever it is that the father is doing. The boys are able to continue that legacy, and you know, and for them that was big for them. So not that having girls was bad, but if you're having boys, wow. So here's Rachel, and she's growing more and more jealous because God is giving her sister children, and she's not bearing children. And the thing that saddens me about Rachel is, you know, we look at their story, at least I did for years, and I always thought this was such a sweet love story. But when you delve into it, you find out it's actually not. Rachel's heart was never right. At least to me, it doesn't seem like her heart was ever right with, you know, with Jacob. Jacob worked for her. He loved her so much that he worked for her. And it doesn't seem like throughout the story that she ever really appreciated her husband or even saw him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you could definitely make that argument. I think that part of it comes out of the disappointment. I mean, you think she had this man who worked for her for 7 years to earn the right to marry her. And I'm sure she had those daydreams, fantasies of what life was going to be like being Jacob's wife, and that there were in those daydreams, like for all of us, we don't ever think, oh, and then there's going to be a difficult trial and we're going to struggle. You know, I'm sure she just thought it was going to be so simple. We're going to get married. We're going to have children. I'm going to have sons for him. We're going to be happy. And so suddenly her dad, because of his sin, you know, has thrown a monkey wrench into all of her plans. And life isn't turning out the way she expected. Life isn't turning out the way any of them expected. And instead of really turning to the Lord and really going, what do you want me to do in all of this? There's still this competition, this fighting, this striving to have that top position, status-wise and in Jacob's heart. You know, their focus is wrong for all of them to some degree.
Yeah. That's what I was
going to. Yeah. They're all a little off, you know. It's really kind of dysfunctional, more than kind of. It's really terribly dysfunctional, and you know we can do that. They made a dysfunctional situation worse because of their own lost expectations or unfulfilled expectations, and we can do the same thing. And that's really kind of what jumped out to me, Sheree, is, you know, where in my life am I getting ahead of God and his plan for me because my expectations of what my life is supposed to be like aren't being met? Where am I trying to make it, make my life look like what I think it should look like instead of just surrendering to the Lord?
What are you pushing, you know, ahead of instead of waiting on God and his timing? Because there are things in our lives that we desire, all of us have, and, you know, we pray for open doors, But I've learned not every open door is from God, because some of open doors that I walked into, I wish I'd have never walked into, because as soon as I got in them, I realized, oh, wow, I'm not supposed to be here. You know, but then you have to stay the course, and you have to walk the rest of it out, and you pray, and, you know, and I've prayed and asked God, please teach me so that I understand and recognize the difference between you and what the enemy is trying to do in my life. So I think it's a great question for all of us. Do you have an area of life where you're getting ahead of God and his plan for you? What are you pushing so hard for that you've completely passed God? You know, and we just hope that, whatever that is, that you can give it to God and rest in his will and let him bring whatever that is that you're hoping so hard for to fruition. Let him do it in his will, because when he brings it to fruition, it's going to be perfect. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to be blessed, and things are going to come together. Pieces that God is waiting for that are not there yet will be, if you let God take care of it instead of you pushing forward to bring it. And that's really right. Important. Okay, so I have no idea how we're doing on time. So
we have 14 minutes.
Okay, so number five. Oh, no, we're on number four. When we are jealous, things can get way out of hand pretty quickly. And we've already seen this. Rebecca's actually already talked about it. Things got very out of hand. Now you've got Rachel, who is giving her husband to, I want to say, everyone and their grandma, because that's kind of how it feels. You know, because Jacob got angry. The Bible says in verse 2 that Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, you know, when she said, give me a child or I'll die. You know, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? So she was looking to Jacob and saying, Rachel was looking to Jacob and saying, why aren't you giving me children? But Jacob understood that God is the one who opens and closes the womb, and it was his choice that Rachel was not having children. So now she adds more wives to the mix, because she gives her maid Bilha to him, you know, and she said, you will bear a child. Let's see. Verse number 3, she says, so she said, here is my maid Bilha. I'm not sure if I said it right, Bilha. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, and I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilha, her maid, as wife. And Jacob went into her, and she conceived. You know, and this story is resounding. I'm hearing someone else say the same thing. Sarah said the same thing, remember? When did this become the cultural norm? If we can't have children, then we'll use our maidservants to do it. Don't we realize that we're attached? You know, when we, whatever the situation is, if we can't have what we want, then we're going to get it through this area. But just like with Jacob and these women, now he's getting attached to these women. There's a soul tie there. So now you're sharing his heart with other people. You know, that in itself is a big mess.
Right. Well, and Jacob went along with it. I mean, he could have said, no, we're not doing this.
Exactly.
We've got a big enough
he
mess already. But he just did. And, you know, we're getting to the end. We're going to show you. But, you know, what happens is, you know, Rachel's, you know, she's like, she says in verse 8 of chapter 30 here in Genesis, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won.
And
this is this is the second son that the servant is having, and his name is Naphtali. And you go, oh, my goodness, what are they thinking? Because this is happening. Remember, this isn't all happening in the blink of an eye, like we can read it. It's happening over time. And then what does Leah do? She takes her servant and also gives her to Jacob. And Jacob, again, could have said no, but he didn't. And then that servant has two sons. What a mess. And I read in one of the commentaries, Sheree, it's not in our notes, but I read that those two servants are actually sisters.
Oh, wow.
So what a mess. You know, there's so many layers here that, you know, you can just assume are going on, because you've got Rachel and Leah who are sisters. These two servant girls are sisters. And so this whole competition, Jacob probably just wanted to run away some days. Think about all those women, all that estrogen.
Well, when you think they're having children for the sake of having children.
Right.
There isn't, you know, they're having children to have children.
Right.
And, wow.
just as status, you know, not just to get where they want to be, to look good, and they're doing it, you know, in their own strength, and God's allowing it to happen. I mean, He allows us to make our mistakes and sin. But, you know, when we look at this, you know, Rachel is so jealous, and she barters Jacob's attention. So it kind of shows you that Rachel's still kind of in control of what Jacob's doing because he loves her so much. She wants these mandrakes that Reuben has collected. And keep in mind, Reuben is Leah's oldest son. And the mandrake had a reputation for being an aphrodisiac, and she felt like that would help her to conceive. Really, that plant has hallucinogenic properties, Sheree. Isn't that crazy?
Right.
And so she's like, okay, give me those mandrakes, and I'll let Jacob come and spend the night with you. Crazy.
Well, she was paying for time with her husband. You know, I wanted to go back to what we just said a moment ago, having children for the sake of having children. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and He said it's the same with ministry. You know, someone has said to us, you're called to ministry. And what do? Because you're called to ministry, then you create a ministry. And as you find out in time, once you've invested, that the actual calling has come, but you're not free because you're in this ministry that you created. Make sense?
Hmm. Interesting.
So, you know, we can create things in our lives because we think that, okay, we have the desire there. We all recognize the desire. We know when God has called us to do something, but instead of listening to Him and waiting for Him, we end up creating it ourselves. We create it in our own power. And then for some of us, when it's time and God is ready to take us into that area, we can't walk into it because we're stuck here. We're stuck back here in the thing that we created, you know?
Right. Yeah, whether it's ministry or something else, we can get stuck in things that aren't God's will for us because we're trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, ask the Lord. If you think that may be an issue in your life, ask the Lord.
I'm just using ministry as an illustration. Yeah.
And let Him speak to you. Yeah, it is. You know, I think about this, the whole jealousy thing. I mean, we've painted a pretty complete picture of what's going on with these people. You know, the jealousy, the striving to get ahead. You know, do you have an area like that where you're jealous? Maybe it isn't something that you're moving on, like Rachel and Leah were obviously motivated by that and actually moving in that area because of that jealousy. But maybe you're just jealous in your thoughts. Ask the Lord to reveal that to you and help you to handle those thoughts appropriately, which means take them captive and ask the Lord to show you, because He wants to show you how much He loves you and how He's created you so perfectly and beautifully for His plan and His purpose, and that He loves you. And a lot of times, Sheree, that jealousy is rooted in insecurity or fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leah wanted to be loved by Jacob. And so some of her jealousy was as a result of that feeling unloved. And right, you know, and she wasn't wrong. I mean, the Bible's clear that he loved Rachel and that he didn't love her. But God turned it around. We've got about 6 minutes left, and we want to talk a little bit about how God can take our mess and turn it into a big blessing. Because, you know, eventually, you know, Rachel did have some sons. You know, if we look down at verse 22, it says, "And God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, 'God has taken away my disgrace.' She named him Joseph and said, 'May the Lord add to me another son.'" And we know that eventually he does, and she has Benjamin. And so keep that in mind, because we're all familiar with the story of Joseph and the Pharaoh in Egypt. So here we're, you know, God's setting the stage for all of that, and we can see how that dysfunction travels down into that family and into the relationship that the brothers have with each other. Right?
Yeah.
You're laughing. You're thinking about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about the genealogy, and you go back to, you know, the sons that God used, because He did use, they were not born for no reason,
right,
without purpose. They were each born with a purpose, because God is their father. Jacob was their natural father, but God is their heavenly father, and He doesn't bring any child to this earth without a purpose for their life. And so I was just thinking, how dysfunctional, you know, in the notes you would put, out of this dysfunctional craziness, God uses these people to bring forth the 12 tribes of Israel. If that doesn't encourage the pee out of you and the mess you're in right now, I don't know what will. God takes people who are so imperfect, and He uses them to bring forth His perfect will, and that includes all of us. That is why I got tickled.
I mean, it does give you hope. I mean, you're
yeah.
probably not involved in a polygamous relationship.
No.
You're probably not having lots of children out of this jealousy and desire
yeah.
to control your own life. You know, you can go, okay,
well,
if God can bless these people, He can certainly
yeah.
bless me. Especially,
you know,
because we have that new covenant with Jesus.
Right. We do have that covenant. They didn't, but we do. But one of the things that I love about Rachel, and I mean about Leah and her story, and I always tend to go for the underdog anyway, but, you know, Leah's heart was after her husband. She wasn't after frivolous things. You know, she wanted his heart, but his heart belonged to someone else. And when that someone else is your sister, that is, I cannot even imagine what happened, you know, or how they handled. I don't know. I get overwhelmed thinking about it. I would not want to share Bill with my sister Holly. It's just not happening.
<You
know? laughs> But
right.
if we had been born in those days, it could have. And that's just kind of, you know, it's emotions and feelings that we can't possibly thoroughly understand today. But what we can do is glean from their experiences and learn, you know, and learn how to walk our life out with the Lord. And remember that He is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father, and He has a purpose for us. We don't need to walk in jealousy. We don't need to try to create what it is we desire. We don't need to get ahead of Him. We just need to learn to trust Him and let Him bring His perfect will to fruition for our lives, because when that happens, we're just going to have so much joy and so much excitement, and we're going to see the hand of God in our lives. Not that we're not going to see His hand in the midst of our mistakes, because as we can see, His hand was all over these people's mistakes.
Right.
Dysfunction and all.
Right. Well, and you know, what we do see is that Rachel passes away before Leah does, and
yeah.
she's buried. And then when it talks about Leah at the end, she is buried with Jacob. And so
with
in
Jacob.
The end,
Rachel
she is honored.
Yeah.
She is honored. And I just think that's just such an interesting twist to the story, that God really did see her and honor her. In through all of that. But we have about a minute left, Sheree.
Yeah, we do.
Closing
you know, if
remarks?
You, yeah, we've left a lot out because there's just not time for it. So we want to encourage you, when you have time today, to go back into Genesis and continue reading from chapter 30 all the way through and find out. It's important for you to understand, why did Jacob honor Leah as opposed to Rachel? Why was Rachel buried in, you know, was it Bethlehem?
Bethel.
I think it was Bethlehem. Bethel. Why was, and you know, and that town was considered to be was corrupt, and, you know, and Rachel was buried there. You need to go back and read the rest of it, because it's important that you understand the difference between the two. You know, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sitting with us with your Bibles and your hearts open for God's for his voice. We know that, you know, he has a plan for you. Even if you've made mistakes, we know that he will use those mistakes for his glory, and he hasn't forgotten about you. Those of you that are Leahs, he hasn't forgotten about you. Just as Leah was honored in her death, God is honoring you in your life. Don't miss it. We look forward to seeing you next week, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.